You're listening to an audio sermon from Household of Christ. We trust that you will be encouraged and blessed as you listen to the Word of God.
I've been feeling of late that there's a lack in the church, and I have a sense that the body of Christ is in some sort of a slump. I don't know if you feel that. Maybe you don't. There's a sort of tardy apathy. Come see, come saw. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Jesus must just come. The rapture must just happen. Let's get on with it. And so there seems to be a total lack of commitment in the body of Christ to knowing who we are as individuals in Christ, and also knowing what God expects of us and where He wants us to go. Some of us need to be, as it were, recommitted. We need to be born again, if you know what I mean. And I'm not trying to condemn you in any way. I just want you to sit up and pay attention to what I have to say. So the Bible is all about increase. Right from Genesis all the way through, the Bible is about increase. All right, there were seeds planted and there was increase. And you can read a whole lot about that in Matthew 13. Jesus actually talks about the kingdom of God. In verse 31 of Matthew 13, he talks about a grain of mustard seed that becomes a tree so big that the birds can land in it and make nests in it. He says in verse 33, it's like leaven that a woman took, that's yeast, and hid it in a bread and baked a bread with it. In verse 44 of chapter 13, it's like a treasure that is hidden in a field, and a man found it and covered it up. And then in his joy, he goes and he sells all that he has to get that land for himself. Verse 45, it says it's like a merchant in search of fine pearls. So there are all these many likenesses that Jesus gives us about the kingdom of God, because it's not one single thing. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, yes. But Jesus makes the kingdom of God for us. He paints a picture that it's so much more than just the little that we might want to be used to. It's like the one that finds the pearl and goes and buys the whole land, the whole plot of land, just to get that one pearl. And I want to ask you this morning, are you one of those? Are you seeking God for that pearl that God wants you to have and possess, and that you can move into the fullness of it? There are other scriptures as well. And God doesn't just want His people to be born again. He doesn't just want us to be saved and delivered and come to church on Sunday, and once a month we have a celebration of some sort and we have communion together, and then we go home and our life just carries on and on and on and on. No, God wants you to have more, because God is about increase. God is about prosperity. God is about you living in the fullness of the rivers of God. Because that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to address that. And it's not just about the outer material things. It's not about what I can have and what I can get and what position I can achieve in life. But it's about the inner man. It's about the spirit man. It's about you, the worshiper. You, the worshiper. Hallelujah. So what is our role as the children of God? What is our role in the kingdom? If I can just direct you briefly to Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 17. Paul prays this prayer, and I believe it's so in line with the Holy Spirit of what God wants for His church. In verse 17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation, knowledge, spirit of wisdom, revelation of who Jesus Christ is. He says in verse 18, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, which are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. If I left you an inheritance and you didn't use it, when I die, I'm coming spook by you. I'm joking. But that's what how I feel about it. If you are left an inheritance, then for goodness sake, please use it. And that is what God is saying here. The children of God have got an inheritance. The church has got an inheritance. We have got a place that God wants us to move into that is the fullness of what we have not yet even experienced. But we have to go in and take it. And I'm getting there in a minute. You know that if we do not enter into the kingdom of God the way God wants us to, Jesus himself warns in Matthew chapter 21 verse 43, he says, the kingdom of God will be taken away and given to those who produce fruit. You are meant to produce. You are meant to reproduce. You are meant to grow. You are meant to prosper. That's what God wants for us. That's his best for us. But he warns this. So how do I attain the fullness of the measure of the stature in Christ? Again, let's go to Ephesians 4, verse 12. This is after he's given the fivefold ministry. And I'm picking it up somewhere in verse 12. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, you've got no excuse. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body in Christ. And now listen to this, verse 13. And this until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Yeah, but I know who the Son of God is. Yes, I know you know. But is he so real to you? Or is he someone that you keep at a distance? Is he someone that you go to occasionally when you need him? You've got to stay with him constantly. Stay in his presence. Amen? Hallelujah. And then he says, you will come to a full-grown man or woman to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God wants you to walk in his fullness. You see, the secret is to get into the place of intimacy with God. And that you only get by the Spirit. Do you all believe that we are the temple of God? Anybody here doesn't believe that? We believe that? So we have to grow into the measure. Do you know that this structure here had a beginning? It was a vacant plot of land. But it increased because God is about increase. And we laid foundations and we built a building. And that's what the Bible is talking about here. It says that we have to be dealt with, each one, according to the measure that you want from God. And you know that it depends on you how much you want. I can't force you. No pastor, no prophet, no evangelist, no teacher. None of us can give you what you're looking for. You have to find it. It's that pearl that you have to go and look for. So God has a measuring stick. And there's a scripture in Revelation 11 verse 1. I don't want to get stuck on this measuring thing because I want to get to the crux of what I want to tell you with you this morning. He says in Revelation 11, verse 1, he says, and there was given unto him a reed like a rod, a measuring rod. And the angel said, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. You know that God's measuring us? He's trying to see how big we are, how small we are, how much capacity we have. And he's the ever-loving Father. He just wants to give you more. He wants to give you more than what you ever even ask or think. That's what the Bible tells us. And then there's also another portion of Scripture in Ezekiel, and this is what I want to get to in chapter 40. Ezekiel sees a vision of a man with a rod in his hand. And the rod is used to measure the temple in this vision. So I don't have time to go into all this. As I said, you know, I'm a teacher and I can go on forever. I can keep you until 4 o'clock. But I don't want to do that. I've only got 40 minutes. So I'm going to try and do this in the time that I have left. So God wants you to live in the fullness of the glory of God. Because this chapter of Ezekiel is about the building of the temple. And it describes in chapter 40, verse 3, how God comes and inhabits the temple. And the strange and wonderful thing is, the Bible says he comes from the eastern gate. Where was the Star of Bethlehem? In the east. Where did the wise men come from? The east. Where is Jesus going to return from? So the east is very important. The eastern gate was called the eastern gate because it faced east. All right. And in Ezekiel's description, it was the presence of God that came in through the eastern gate. Nobody else was allowed to come through the eastern gate. In fact, when Ezekiel in his vision comes to this vision that he's seeing and he sees this temple, he's not allowed to go in the front through the eastern gate. He has to go through the northern gate into the temple. And he has a wonderful experience in the temple of what is happening there. And then at another place in Ezekiel, later on, Ezekiel 47, if you can go with me there, he says, and he led me again to the door of the house. This is now the door of the temple. Water came out from under the threshold of the house eastward. So it was flowing out of the temple. What went into the temple? God's presence. What's coming out of the temple? God's presence. Because the water is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. It's the symbol of God. So the holiness comes out of the temple. Who's the temple of God? Say, I am. Where does the presence of God come out of? The temple. Amen. Do you get that? It doesn't fall on you from outside. It falls on you from your heart. It comes from the innermost being. Glory. From the front of the house is east, and the water came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Verse 2, and he led me out by the way of the north gate, and led me around the way outside to the outer gate, by which facing the east, and behold, water was trickling out of the right side. When the man went out eastward and a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. How long is a cubit? Anybody know what a cubit is? This is a cubit. If you didn't know that, this is a cubit. It's about 45 centimeters. So there was a rod that was made up of 6 of these that they used as a measuring stick. 6 is the symbol of man. Okay? But that's what they used. So the man went out and he passed me through the water, and the water came up to my ankles. Very shallow. You see, and that's what some of us want to do. We just want to prance around in the ankle-deep water. Have you seen children when there's been a lot of rain? They want to go and play outside. I don't know about your kids. My kids wanted to. My grandchildren wanted to. They just want to go and play in the shallow water. And they want to kick the water and spray each other. Lekker, lekker. Let's just have a nice time. No responsibility. No nothing. Have you ever wondered why babies can't walk? Their ankles can't hold them. Am I right? Tolo, can your baby walk yet? Where are you? She can't walk yet. Her ankles are not strong. And many Christians are like that. Our ankles are so weak, we cannot walk. We cannot walk in the path that God has assigned for us. And then the scripture goes on. It says in verse 4, and he measured 1,000 cubits again and passed me through the water. 1,000 cubits is about 500 meters. And he said, there was water to my knees. And again, in the development of man, the knees have to be strengthened. Your spiritual knees have to be strengthened so that you can stand up and walk. What did they do with Moses when he got tired? His knees couldn't hold it anymore. They had to hold him up, and they had to hold his hands up while they were fighting the war. Hallelujah. Am I right? So, Yatu is a nice place to just play around and wallow in the shallow waters. No danger. Just mud. Nice place to get dirty. And that dirtiness speaks of the sin in our lives that we allow. Because we are playing in the shallow waters. We are not going into the fullness of what God wants for us. We're playing in the shallow waters. First, we are in there to our ankles because we can handle that. And then we go into our knees and we think we've arrived. We've got a couple of things that we know now. And then the Bible goes on in part B of verse 4. And he measured 1,000 and passed me through the water to the loins. And some of us have grown up a little, and we're now playing in the deeper pools of God. We can now walk in the water. We can even run. It's a little bit difficult, but we can wade through the water. Anybody been in a river lately or in the sea? It's not so easy to walk through the water when you're up to here. But you can do it, can't you? But guess what God wants? God says, that's not enough. I don't want you to just to have half measure. I want you to have the fullness. I want you to swim in the torrent. And he says that in verse 5. And there was a torrent which I was not able to pass, for the water had risen. Water to swim in, a torrent that could not be passed. Any swimmers here? Any swimmers here? God wants you to swim in the river. God doesn't want you just to play around in the shallow waters, get yourself full of mud and get out and go and say, I've had enough. God wants not you even to go in just to your middle. We were at the sea recently and the tide was coming out and the sea was quite rough, so we couldn't go in too deep. But I was amazed how clear the water was. I could even see the bottom of the ocean, the floor bed. It was so clear. And God wants you to have that clearness when you go into the waters. Not up to here, up to here. How many swimmers have we got in the house this morning that want to say, I want to swim in the fullness of God's glory? You see, in Revelation 11:1, it talks about go and measure the temple of God. That's you. That's you, body and soul. And then he says, and go and measure the altar. That's your heart. Who do you carry on your heart? What sacrifice do you bring to the altar? Do you bring your heart to the altar? Do you bring your all to the altar? Do you bring your worship and praise? Do you bring your best to the altar of God? Because that's what He wants you to have. God wants us to hear His voice. Many people say, I haven't heard God for 1,000 years. I had a pastor once who told me this. He said, people come to me and they say, God told me this and God told me that and God told me the next thing. He says, God doesn't even say hello to me. I don't know how they do it. But you know where that comes from? When you start wading through the waters and God is your sufficiency and there's no other rescue but the tide that carries you. And while you are swimming in that river, you have to swim with the tide. Some of us struggle. We are in the deep waters. But we struggle because we're trying to go up against the stream. We're trying to get somewhere that God doesn't even want me to go. No, you must just flow with the stream. You know that if you get, just by the way, if you get caught in the sea and those currents take you out, don't fight them. Go with them. They will wash you out because that's what the sea does. It has a natural flow that will wash you out. And we must do that. We must get into God's presence and let God take us into His flow. And then we must hear from Him and say, Lord, where do I go now? Lord, I'm having a bit of a struggle here. There's a patch where the streams are going together and I don't know how to get out of here. Help me, Lord. You know what else you'll find in the river? Other people. And there's the challenge. Because the kingdom of God is made up of other people. I'm not in there alone. So I have to swim with the tide, and I have to swim with other people. And they might get in my way. But you're not meant to hinder anybody. You're not meant to swim in somebody else's stream. You are meant to stay in your stream. And let God take you where He wants you to be. Amen? Don't you think that's a wonderful example? God wants you to be in the temple of God, in the holiness of God, with your altar ready. The sacrifice has been paid, but we have to abide in the vine. We have to abide in that sacrifice on the altar and make it our own. I'm going to close with this. John chapter 4, verse 13. We all know this portion of Scripture, but it just never seems to leave me. Jesus answered, this is the woman at the well. Remember her? The Samaritan woman who came and she wanted to, Jesus came to the well and He said, can you give me some water? Right? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Whoever drinks of the natural water. You see, you can go to a gospel campaign. Call it the Holy Spirit campaign. Call it the prophetic encounter. Call it whatever you want to. And you can go and sit in that stream and let it take you. And then after the campaign, where do I go now? You see, you have to stay in the stream continuously. You've got to be cautious to hear what God's saying. You have to be sensitive to the living water that God wants to give you because you have a place in the body of Christ. You have got a place in the body of Christ. This is the body. And you have a place here. And God wants you to move and operate in what He has given you to do and to fulfill in your life. And then in verse 14, He says, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. But the waters that I will give him will be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. It never stops flowing. If you are going through a drought, listen to me. If you are going through a drought in your life, you need to just get back into the stream of God. You just need to get back into the river. You just need to let the Holy Spirit lead you and take you where He wants you to be. You mustn't fight the river. But some of us are even drowning because we're not swimming. What's the lady who won the Olympic title recently? She won a couple of medals. How do you think she got there? She just jumped into the water. And she swam and she won a medal. She actually started out on the shallow waters. Just splash, 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 splash. And then she went to the knees. And then she went to the hips. And then she had to learn to swim because the water was now deep and she had a goal to win. How much of a goal do you have to win? I want to tell you, the kingdom of God is the most wonderful experience you will ever have. There's nothing, listen to me, I've been serving God for 50 years. There's nothing that compares. But Jesus said, those that don't produce in the kingdom, I'll take it away from them. Don't be one of those. Be the one that says, give me the water because I don't want to thirst for something else. I want to stay in the streams of what God has got for me. God is measuring us. Where will He find you in that measurement? In the shallow waters? Dancing and prancing around in the waters up to your knees? Is He going to find you in the waist-deep waters? Or are you swimming in the fullness of what God wants for you? Hallelujah. I want to challenge you this morning. This is not my pulpit. And I want to bring honor to this pulpit. And I want to, by grace, by God's grace, I just want to encourage you from my part as a teacher and a preacher of the gospel. You have got a place in God that's yours. But the wonderful thing about it is it's a collective place. You can't run this journey alone. You can't be a man on an island. You've got to be collective, together. And I spoke the last time I preached, I spoke about the importance of being in the house of God, being connected and being planted. That is so important. Your journey, your depth of water is determined by you. Nobody else. You determine that depth. And God wants to take you to become a champion swimmer. Say, I want to be a champion swimmer. I want God to take me to the deep, deep waters. He will teach you when you are there. He will teach you when you are there. But you need to just step out in faith. You know, faith is a wonderful thing. If you don't step out in faith, God doesn't move. Come on. Come on. Do you not agree with me? You have to step out in faith because faith without works is dead. If you want a new car, it doesn't fall into your backyard in the color that you want it. You got to put some money away. You got to start saving. You got to start believing God to make it happen. Some of us will play the lotto. It doesn't happen that way either. Lord, please let me win the lotto. No, it doesn't work that way. But God wants you to swim in those lovely streams of living water, which are refreshing, by the way. They refresh you, they renew you, and they bring pleasure to you as you bring pleasure to God. Hallelujah. Any swimmers here? Hallelujah. I feel just to just close with another scripture. Am I over my time? Not yet. John chapter 7. Verse 38. How many believers do we have in the house? This is what the word says to you. Jesus' words. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Where do the waters come from? And I want to emphasize this. If you go and liken it unto Ezekiel's message and Ezekiel's vision, the streams of living water come from you because you are the temple. You see, when Jesus came in, he came to dwell there. But you've got to let him out. You've got to show him to the world. And you've got to let those streams of living water flow out of you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this audio sermon. For more information, please go to our website, www.hoc.org.za. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.